Hare Krishna. So we are very happy to have with us His Holiness Bhakti Brihat Bhagavat Maharaj. Hare Bol. So he is a senior disciple of His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, and he has been involved right from the early 80s in various capacities, book distribution, sankirtan, and then he is in charge of the Bhaktivedanta College at in South Africa. And one of the pioneers in Bhakti Shastri training. He has been kind enough to also guide us and train us and help us get our Bhakti Shastri certifications.
Hey, I'm supposed to give the talk, not you.
Just giving a small, you know, parichay.
Still too long.
No. And significantly, he was involved in helping the Vrindavan management during 2003-2004, that period. And he made significant changes during his tenure. And our relationship grew closer between Chaupati and him in those years. And since then, we have always been looking forward to his visits. And his seminars and lectures are always very, very enlightening. And he has wonderful Prabhupada pastimes, which he narrates beautifully. We're very grateful that Maharaj has come here after a very long time. We would like to welcome him by loudly chanting.
Hare Bol!
Hare Bol!
Thank you very much for your kindness and mercy upon me, for allowing me to be of some service today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 14, the system of universal management. So we're going to cover three texts today. Text 9 is on the board and there's no purport. Text 10, and there is a short purport. And then there's the last text for the chapter, text 11, with no purport. So we'll do text 9 together. Sargam. Sargam prajesa rupena dasyunhanyat svarat vapu kala rupena sarvesham abhavaya prithaguna. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the form of Prajapati Marichi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny. Becoming the king, he kills the thieves and rogues. And in the form of time, he annihilates everything. All the different qualities of material existence should be understood to be qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So text number 10. Stuya mano janarebir mayaya namarupaya vimohitatma birnana dashanaitna chadristyate. Translation. People in general are bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore they try to find the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through various types of research and philosophical speculation. Nonetheless, they are unable to see the Supreme Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. whatever actions and reactions take place for the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material world are actually brought about by the one Supreme Person. There are many varieties of philosophers trying to search for the ultimate cause under different names and forms, but they are unable to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who explains in Bhagavad Gita that He is the origin of everything and the cause of all causes. Aham sarvasya prabhava. This inability is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Devotees therefore accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is and remain happy simply by chanting the glories of the Lord. So the final text in this chapter, text 11. Etat kalpa vikalpasya pramanan parikirtitam yatra manvantaranyahus chaturdasa puravida. Translation. In one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, there take place the many changes called vikalpas. O king, of all these have been previously described, all of these have been previously described to you by me. Learned scholars who know the past, present and future have ascertained that in one day of Brahma, there are 14 manus. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The System of Universal Management. So I feel fortunate and blessed to be in your transcendental company today. And I'm especially speaking for my own purification, but hopefully for your transcendental pleasure at the same time. In this particular verse, there is the word kala rupena, which indicates that in the form of time, everything is destroyed or annihilated. A person who is not affected by the influence of time, he does not keep and he does not take, he only gives. So how is it? This is a contradiction. That if he does not keep, he doesn't have anything. And if he does not take, if someone gives him, he doesn't have anything. So how can he give? This is only can be reconciled on the spiritual platform. So one such personality, who is the personification of Kala Rupena, is Lord Shiva. Sometimes known by different names, but popularly known as Shiva. But the actual form of time is Shambhu, like that. So Lord Shiva, Srila Prabhupada quotes a story about him and Durga. That Lord Shiva, he doesn't even construct his own house. He has no home, like that. He just lives underneath a tree. Sometimes they say he lives under a bale tree. We have a bale tree in the courtyard of our Juhu temple, Radharasa Bihari Mandir, like that. And his wife is Sri Sti Sthiti Prayala Sadhana Bhaktir. In other words, she is a yogini. She's so powerful that she can create a whole planet But she still also lives under a tree, wood, Shambhu. And sometimes she is known as the form of Parvati and other times as Durga. Like that. And at the same time, she never claims, "My dear husband, if you cannot build a house, I can." Prabhupada used to say like that. She is not demanding and she is not commanding at the same time. So at one time she was a little bit concerned because she heard some rumors that people were criticizing them. They are a couple. At least they should have some house. Like that. But Shiva and Durga, they are capable to do anything like that. So, but people are criticizing them in that sense. That they're not living properly as grihasthas and so forth. At least they should have some house. Like that. So Shiva replied, "If they are criticizing us, we do not have a house. Whoever is criticizing, they should build us a house." But instead, they are praying to us that they can get a house. And we have no house. Like that. Then Shiva said, "Okay, we will stop the criticism." And they constructed a beautiful house. Everything was constructed with solid gold. From the foundation to the piling. Everything. What you cannot see is also constructed with gold. Like that. And then Parvati said, "In the form of Durga it was constructed, but in the form of Parvati now we shall live." It's two different moods. We shall live in the house. So Shambhu or Shiva said, "No, we cannot live in the house. We should have a housewarming ceremony. So we should invite the best of the Brahmanas." And at that time around, the best of the Brahmanas was Garga Acharya or Garga Muni, like that. So Garga Muni was invited and all the Brahmanas came for the housewarming ceremony. And there was lots of foodstuffs to eat, like that. And, you know, Garga Muni was invited with many other Brahmanas and they finished all the stock of prasad. Nothing was left like that. So then they're waiting. So Shambhu and Parvati could understand what they are waiting for. Dakshin. Like that. So then Garga Muni indicated, "You know, we cannot leave until the ceremony is complete. And the ceremony is complete is only when you give dakshin." Like that. Because after eating, you have to give some dakshin. And then they will leave. And these are very strict brahmanas. Like that. See? So Shiva, he was puzzled. "I have no dakshin. Everything was there. I gave you. You ate. I don't have any bank account. Nothing in the bank. So what to do? Where shall I get? Everything is finished." So Durga, she also became puzzled like this. And then when Srila Prabhupada told the story, what they did, he started laughing like anything. So Shiva said, "All right, as dakshin, you take this house." Like this. So the house entrance ceremony was over. Like this. And then Garga Muni became completely perplexed. "We came to bless the house for them to live in, and as dakshin is giving us the house." Like this. And then Shiva and Durga, they left the house and they went back to live beneath a tree. Like this. So this is a personality. He only gives. He does not keep, neither does he take. And therefore is not affected by time. Like this. So in this verse, Kala Rupena. And then in the following verse in text number 10, there is also this Janair Ebi Maya Nama Rupaya Vimohit Atmabir. Vimohit Atmabir indicates that people in general are bewildered by the illusory energy in that sense. So this illusory energy, we understand it comes in the form of Mahavishnu casting his glance, which is the form of Shambhu in the shape of Kala Rupena. See? Shambhu comes from the glance of Mahavishnu, but that glance that Shambhu is transformed into the form of time. But at this point, the form of time is not functional. And the form of time primarily functions in the material nature when it's activated in the form of past, present and future, and birth, old age, disease and death. Prabhupada used to say like that. So the form of time can only function when it is activated, which is the glance of Mahavishnu. Now, prior to that, Mahavishnu, before he could cast his glance, he is in internal ecstasy in the form of Yoga Nidra. You will not find a description, even a painting of Mahavishnu where you can see his consort, who is known as Rama Devi. Not Rama, Rama Devi. You will not find the description. So therefore when Mahavishnu is an internal meditation, in the form of Yoga Maya, he is completely oblivious of anything that's surrounding him. And that form of Yoga Maya, which puts him into Yoga Nidra, is called Rama Devi. You cannot see her, but Mahavishnu can feel in the form of Yoga Nidra, that is Rama Devi. Like that. Now, this is called, Yoga Nidra is called by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Brahma Samhita is called as ecstatic trance. Like that. Now, at the same time, this Mahavishnu, he has his seat from which he governs in a place called Mahavaikuntha, which is an extended form of Krishna's own transcendental pastimes. How to understand it? Don't understand it. It's like that. See? But when he casts his glance, it becomes an extended form of Krishna's pastimes in the form of Shambhu. Like that. And when does he cast his glance? There is a shadow or a bas rupa of Rama Devi who is called Maya. And she is considered a maidservant. So when the maidservant sees the king, Mahavishnu, is in ecstatic trance in the form of Yoga Nidra, which is the form of Rama Devi, the maidservant desires also to enjoy with the king, Mahavishnu. But that extended form of Krishna's pastime from the seat of Mahavaikuntha cannot be enjoyed by Mahavishnu or Krishna. Because this is Maya. This is Maya. So therefore, glance indicates that it's touching and it's not touching. But the glance itself cannot touch directly. Because it's the direct glance of Mahavishnu. So when that glance moves towards Maya, who wants to consort with Mahavishnu, Rama Devi cannot consort with Mahavishnu. And then she is awake externally in a transcendental way. So there's no more Yoga Nidra or Yoga Maya. So she sees that projection of that glance is moving at the force of time. It's moving at the force of time to create past, present and future. But Rama Devi is not time. Rama Devi controls time. Because she controls Yoga Nidra, spiritual slumber. She is the form of Yoga Nidra. So she catches that glance. Because she sees it's moving towards Maya, her own shadow. It's like this. Now imagine you have your shadow. See my hand? There's a shadow. Now if reality is trying to catch the shadow, it sounds a little bit strange. If my hand is trying to catch my own shadow, can it catch? It cannot. So there has to be a function outside of my hand for that to function. And that is Mahavishnu's glance. So Rama Devi, she catches the glance of Mahavishnu to make it functional into her own shadow named Maya Devi. Otherwise it cannot function. Practically to understand this, it cannot be understood unless one chants one minimum 16 rounds in the morning and have some revelation about it. This is time. Kala Rupena. So in other words, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says as simply as possible that Rama Devi carries the function of the glance of Mahavishnu. And the glance of Mahavishnu is Shambhu and therefore directly makes that function, enters into Maya Devi. Like that. So in that way, Maya Devi has an indirect contact with Mahavishnu's glance, but a direct contact when it's contacted in the form of Shambhu. Confusing. It's okay. We get purified. Like that. So therefore Maya Devi is known as Udara Shakti, the accommodating chamber of the womb of material nature, sometimes known as Yoni, womb of material nature, like that. So that's when the potency becomes external. And this external potency, Maya, which is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit Shakti Rama, like that, is worshipped by all people in the material nature as Durga. And when on contact of worship to Durga, then Durga takes the function of creating, preserving and destroying, which is the agency within the mundane world. Like that. So therefore, Durga Dham, prison house. That's how we get past, present and future in the form of the function of time within this mundane world. And we know Durga is 10-armed and those 10 arms represent the 10-fold fruitive activities. She is supreme. She rides on a lion. And the lion, his heroic prowess, And I am powerful because of riding on this lion. And when she doesn't ride on the lion is not heroic. It's only functional when she rides on the lion. Otherwise the lion is uppercut in its function. Latent, impotent, like that. And we know Parvati, in the form of Durga, she has two sons, Kartikeya and Ganesh, representing beauty and success materially, like that. And this Durga is placed between Lakshmi and Sarasvati. She's in between Lakshmi and Sarasvati in the form of the consciousness of mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. When she is placed between the both. So this is another form of Lakshmi and another form of Sarasvati. When Durga is placed between both, it becomes mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. Like that. Then she's armed with 20 weapons representing the various kinds of punya, pious activities, which whips the living entity to go to the heavenly planets. But we are thinking, hey, pious activity is a nice whipping. But whips the living entity. Like that. See? And one of those 20 weapons is the form of a whip in the form of a snake. In the form of a snake, which represents the so-called beauty of destructive time, Kala Rupena. Like that. You know, the beauty of destructive time in the form of a snake weapon destroys your beauty in the material world. You know, you get the wrinkles, you get the gray hair, like that. The beauty is being destructive. You understand? It's subtle. In other words, that beauty in the material world destroys you. Because you're hankering for it not to disappear, but it destroys you because it does. Janma mityu jara vihadi. It does, it destroys you. So therefore we see that the personality of the destructive principle in the form of time has been identified with that of Shambhu and activated within the material world by Maya in the form of Durga. In that sense. Like that. Now, we know at the same time in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. How to overcome this Shambhu, who is the form of destructive time, functioned through Maya or Durga. How to overcome that in that sense. So the understanding is that Shambhu, in pursuance of the will of Govinda, works in union with his consort Parvati or Durga, and therefore he works by his own time energy. By his own time energy. So what does it mean for devotees? It means that we do not work in time because we serve in eternal time. So it doesn't matter. A devotee eternally serves the Lord. So there's no question of this past, present and future in that sense. At the same time, again I'm using the word, there is, in obedience to the will of Govinda, Shambhu, he maintains and fosters different types of religion that actually contaminate bhakti. It contaminates the true religion of pure devotional service. And therefore sometimes he preaches the cult of what is called illusionism. And that is popularly known as Mayavad or impersonalism in that sense. And then also he gives the speculative Agama Shastras. Like that. So why does he do that? Shambhu. Shambhu does that because he keeps them under the clutches of Kala Shakti. At the same time, he frees Kala Shakti not to influence the devotees. And therefore he is known as a sweeper. Now what's the function of a sweeper? If you go down the road and you see a sweeper, you look down upon him. He comes from the Bangi colony. But when the road is dirty, you will chastise him. Hey, why are you not cleaning? But the sweeper sweeps the dirt from the road so that you can enjoy the cleanliness and purity of the road. Right? You will not clean, but you expect the sweeper to clean for you to enjoy. So Shambhu is like this. So therefore he is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He does not expect appreciation from the pure devotees of the Lord. He keeps the path of devotion clean by sweeping away Mayavad. By sweeping away Punya. By sweeping away through the Agama Shastras, philosophical speculation. By sweeping away Tapasya. By sweeping away Vairagya. That's what the impersonal is like. And by sweeping away karma, sense gratification. So he sweeps everything away. Jnana, Vairagya, karma, punya, Mayavad. He sweeps everything away to keep the path of devotion clean. And that is why devotees like to walk on a clean path. But at the same time, they will not thank the person who is cleaning. And he doesn't want it. So therefore, Shambhu does not take, does not keep, but only gives. Therefore, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Such a personality is unparalleled. Unparalleled. In this way. At the same time, when you sweep the dirt, it doesn't disappear. The dirt has to be kept somewhere. It has to be kept somewhere. Who keeps the dirt? Shambhu himself. So therefore the Mayavadi is always with him. See? The Karmavadi is always with him. The Jnanavadi is always with him. See, the sense enjoys always with him. So I'll keep the dirt with me. So long as the Vaishnavas are not affected by this and the path of devotion is kept clean. So because of that, we are not affected by this Kala Rupena. We're not affected by that. Now there's a popular misunderstanding that time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. You heard this before? It's very popular. It is completely wrong. In other words, one is saying that there's only time in the material world and there's no time in the spiritual world. That's one is saying like that. So how come we get a verse like Ekada Griha Dashishu Yasoda Nandana Gehini? How do we get Ekada? Ekada? One day. There must be time. See? There must be time in this spiritual world. So therefore, in Prabhupada's books, it's very clear. Time is in the spiritual world and time is in the material world. But what is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world is the influence of time. The influence of time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. See? And in the material world, time is of the influence itself. Is of the influence itself in that sense. So therefore, there is past, present and future and birth, old age, disease and death. And how is time influencing in the material world? The action of matter also does not give much incentive in the material world. Time itself functions matter, material energy, and there's not much incentive. Why? Because the unmanifested forces of time are so powerful that it reduces all things material to oblivion in due course. It is destroyed. And we can see in this age of Kali, Prayana Alpa Ayushya Sabya Kalo Asmin Yuge Janaha Manda Sumanda Mateya Manda Bahi Bhagahi Upadutaha. We can see by the indestructible forces of time. Time cannot be destroyed, but it destroys. Time destroys. What happens? The material body of the duration of life is fast being reduced. Short lives. The action of matter, therefore, has not much incentive to live in this world. There's not much incentive. At the same time, memory is lost, becoming short. People forget quickly, and the land does not produce so much food grains in those proportions like those days of like yesteryear, so forth. The cow does not give so much milk as it used to give, like that. And the living entities themselves cannot get any more sumptuous, nourishing food. Nutritious food cannot get any more like that. So there's not much incentive to live in this world. Nothing at all. So this is the action of indestructible time. And then mutual dealings between people are full of hypocrisy. So there's not worth it to live here. So why do we have to live here? Like that. We only have to live here for only one purpose. And Prabhupada, he gave one disciple the name for that purpose. And Prabhupada said, and your name will be Bhavananda. Das. Like that. So later on, Bhavananda, he asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of Bhavananda? Like that. So Prabhupada said, Ananda means bliss. And Bhava means the material world. So your name means the bliss of the material world. So Bhavananda became confused. What is this? Like, what is this? Like that. So he went back to Prabhupada and he said, what is this? How can I stay in this material world blissfully? Like this. Prabhupada said, there's no bliss in the material world. But your name is Bhavananda. Because the only bliss in the material world is to preach Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we have no business here. We should get out. If you don't want to preach, get out. If you want to preach, stay here. Bhavananda. That's the only bliss of the material world. So therefore, the present condition... conditional state of the influence of this time factor like that is very destructive. It's destroying it at every moment in that sense. So how to overcome this influence of time that is not there in the spiritual world, but time is there? not as a master but as a servant. Like that. How to overcome that influence of time. So there's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adilila in chapter 6. Teno karana krishnara dasya pratyasa nirantara kahe shiva muni krishna dasa. So yeah, it's stated that this Shambhu, he only desires to be a servant of Krishna. And as Sadha Shiva, that is why he has that name. Sadha means always, Shiva means auspicious. And therefore as Sadha Shiva, he always prays that let me simply become a servant of Lord Krishna. Then you're not influenced by the time factor. And therefore, a devotee, he eternally lives in the service of the Lord. In order to eternally live in the service of the Lord, one should gradually, through purification, become free from pride. And Shambhu is like this. He's completely free from pride. Because of his full faith or conviction in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, that pridelessness is only the inheritance of first-class devotees. And how we can do that? And how we can only live eternally in the service of the Lord? Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamahi mama janmani janmani ishvare pavatad bhaktir hayitakitvahi. So yeah, it says birth after birth means time after time. Birth means old age, disease and death. Birth again. Mama janmani janmani. So we are not concerned about birth, old age, disease and death. So long as provided we get bhaktir hayutuki. Provided we are engaged eternally in the service of the Lord. So you can be eternal within past, present and future. You can be eternal within birth, old age, disease and death. So that's how we overcome the influence of time within the material nature. And that means be Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness. Not affected by the influence of time in the material nature. So finally, time serves Radha Krishna. And we know there are verses to the extent that by the rising and setting of the sun, one's life is just ebbing away. You're losing, ebbing away by seconds and seconds by the rising and setting of the sun. So when I used to stay in Vrindavan, I had one realization about the setting of the sun. Like that. When the sun sets in Vrindavan, the rays of the sun comes through the trees like streaks of molten gold. Like that. And when those streaks of molten gold come through, it is like Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. So that's the time when Srimati Radharani goes to her rendezvous on the banks of the river Jamuna so that she cannot be caught moving. Now who is doing this? Who is serving her in a way that she cannot be caught to go and meet Krishna? Twilight zone. Dusk. When the sun is setting. So the sun is serving Srimati Radharani so that she can move when the streaks of molten gold of the sun's rays is there and she cannot get caught. Because those streaks of molten gold is Kanchana, Gaurangi. She cannot be caught. Like that. And what follows thereafter? That period between when light breaks into darkness. And that is called dusk. What color is that? Yam Shama Sundaram. Shama is the color of Krishna. But it is very quick, very momentary. So Krishna has to move faster. So therefore he is always late when he meets her. But sometimes the sun knows that he is late. So the sun goes very slowly down and keeps that period a little longer. A little longer. So therefore time serves Krishna. Time does not influence. It serves Krishna to meet Radha quickly. So he's not late. But nevertheless he does get late because he has to go second. That dusk period is the form of the color of the Supreme Lord. So therefore Krishna loves to spend all the time with Krishna. With Srimati Radharani. Krishna loves to spend all the time with Srimati Radharani. So that indicates that Srimati Radharani is the form of eternal time which Krishna likes to spend with. Because he likes to spend all the time with her. So therefore, we understand that Ramha Devi was the form of the function of time. Her origination is Srimati Radharani. So in that way, when we engage in devotional service, it indicates that we are engaged in devotional service, which is itself a form of eternal time. Because devotional service in its pure form is the form of Srimati Radharani who takes our service and offers to Krishna. In that way. You have any questions or comments? Bit of a philosophical class about time, but I guess we over the time. Over? Okay. Oh, there's one hand. What do we do? Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki.
Hare Krishna.
What's your name?
Mukesh. Mukesh.
Mukesh, yes.
Can you share any experience with Prabhupada? Can you share any experience with Prabhupada?
I experienced Prabhupada through his disciples who I have experienced with him. I am a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Many people feel that I have met Prabhupada and I had experiences with him. And I also like to feel that way. So it's okay. Is that all right? Is Prabhupada here? Is Srila Prabhupada here? Mukesh? So he is here. Yes. Srila Prabhupada is in his books. Srila Prabhupada is in the consciousness of his disciples. Srila Prabhupada is the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said that, ISKCON is me, ISKCON is non-different from me. So he's manifest in so many ways.
Like that.
One time, one disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and he told Srila Prabhupada that, "Srila Prabhupada, I always want you to be in my heart." And then Srila Prabhupada replied, "If you allow me to enter." So what's stopping us? Like that. The only thing that's stopping us for Prabhupada to enter our hearts is not to come to the point of pure devotional service. In that sense. Like that. Is that okay? He has his hand up at the back there. What to do? What's your name? Gokulananda. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Raji, you mentioned in a class that from Lord Shambhu comes the other philosophies like Mayavad and other things. So my question is he also the source of the other religious systems which prevail today, like Islam, Christianity, etc.?
Just repeat your question.
Lord Shambhu, you said in your class, is the source of other philosophies like Mayavad. And we also see that there is a reference in the scriptures, Mayavadam asa shastram prachannam bodhochate. So I wanted to know, today the religious systems which prevail, like Islam, Christianity, etc., is Lord Shambhu the source of these philosophies as well?
Lord Shambhu is not the source. Which comes first? One is bewildered by Maya or one forgets Krishna? Which comes first? Sometimes there's a misunderstanding that Maya makes us forget Krishna. That is not true. See? When we forget Krishna, then the material energy is functional on us in its bewilderment. Like that. So the time we forget Krishna, that means we have to engage in some other activities to continue to forget Krishna. See? That's where these other philosophies come. Shambhu does not create it. Shambhu just manifests it so that you can function with it because of your forgotten nature of Krishna and service to Krishna. Like that. Prabhupada said this very clear in the purport. Like that. Maya does not make us forget Krishna. We forget Krishna and then Maya bewilders us in our forgetfulness. See? And the one principal bewilderment in our forgetfulness is that we want to become Krishna, which is Mayavad. And the functionality of making us forget Krishna is the functionality, not that we now will forget. The functionality of continuing to make us forget Krishna is Shambhu. And the bewildering agent of that is Maya or Durga. Like that. Is that okay? So therefore we have to be careful that we cannot blame Shambhu. That, you know, he originated this and therefore it's his fault. No, cannot blame Shambhu. So simply put, in the science of self-realization, Srila Prabhupada says that Sankaracharya is an impersonalist from the materialistic point of view. Which is an avesh, which is an expansion of Shambhu, Sankaracharya. So if Sankaracharya is a impersonalist from the materialist point of view, then it is understood that Sankaracharya is a personalist from the spiritual point of view. Is that okay? The opposite holds true. Like that. The opposite holds true. And that's so therefore Vaishnava Nam Yata Shambhu. Like that. That okay? Clear? Alright. So the principal situation for us is that in order not to be bewildered by five things, not to be bewildered by five things. That is Mayavad, atheism, demigod worship, pretending to be a devotee, pretenders, and the last one is Vaishnava Prad. When we are free from these five things, then we can enter into the spirit of Jivadoya. Jivadoya means compassion for other living entities. These five things makes the heart hard. Impersonalism, including voidism, demigod worship, atheism, pretending to be a devotee, and Vaishnava Pura. These five things make the heart hard. When we overcome these five things, then Jivadoya manifests in the heart, because very soft, like that. And when that is manifest, then that is accompanied before and after. It's like a sandwich. Jivadoya is in the center, but it's sandwiched by Namaruchi. It's sandwiched by the ecstatic feeling of chanting the holy name. Like that. See? Namaruchi, Jivadoya. And when you have these two, then you look forward favorably to Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. I mean, look forward favorably to Sadhu Sangha. That Nama Ruchi in its condensed form, coupled with Jivadoya compassion, it makes your heart so hard from your personal perspective that you feel that someday I will become a devotee. And therefore, because your heart has become so hard by Nama Ruchi and Jivadoya, and when you feel that someday I will become a devotee, you only see the softness in all the other devotees. And how come they are still tolerating me in their association, which is the true consciousness of someone who is entering into Sadhu Sangha? That I'm not fit to be here, but yet they are keeping me with them. That is because even the faintest trace of Mayavad, the faintest trace of demigod worship, the faintest trace of atheism, and the faintest trace of pretending to be a devotee, and the faintest trace of Vaishnava aparat is completely gone. There's no more. Like that. Then one feels, I am all of these five. I am all of these five. I am not worthy. I am not worthy to even come near the devotees. But somehow I am attracted still. Somehow they are pulling me towards them, although I do not want to go. Like that. So that's when one enters into a bhavananda. That I am in this world, but I am not of this world. But the struggle for material existence, what Prabhupada says? The struggle for material existence is miserable, isn't it? The struggle for material existence is so miserable. And then Prabhupada says, therefore it is hard. It is a hard struggle for existence. Like that. So the apex of the devotee's consciousness, it is that the struggle to be Krishna consciousness is sweet. And it becomes even sweeter still. It is not hard, neither it is miserable. Like that. And therefore when one feels jiva doya, that I am having compassion for these people, but in effect I am only having compassion to myself, that someday I will become a devotee. Why? Because Mahaprabhu has already made them devotees. Who am I? I am simply preaching that someday I will become a devotee. So therefore Krishna consciousness is the sweetest of all sweet struggles. In that sense. Like that. And therefore we need the blessings of persons like Shambhu. He doesn't struggle, but he struggles to keep the path of devotion clean so that we do not struggle. Like that. So similarly, we should struggle to keep the path of devotion clean from the personal perspective so that the other devotees do not struggle. But from the personal perspective. Like I should struggle to keep the path of devotion clean so that the other devotees will not struggle. And that is the greatest and sweetest struggle in Krishna consciousness. It is not heavy, it is not intense, it is not miserable, and neither it is a hard struggle. It becomes sweeter and sweeter still. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnav vrinda ki jai. Natai Gaur Prem Anande Hari Hari Bo.